Defending democracy, informing voters, this is In the Public Interest here on 89.1 WEMU. I'm Lisa Berry, and this is our biweekly conversation with the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area. And joining us today is local league member Margaret Leary, a lawyer, librarian, and a very well-informed member of our community. Thank you for joining us here on 89.1 WEMU's In the Public Interest.
I'm delighted to be here.
You may recall that Margaret was here before. We just started talking about the 2020 census, but there's so much coming up. We thought, why not come back and continue that conversation? I don't think we mentioned this last time. There's a theme for the census?
Yes, there is. The Census Bureau says that their goal with 2020 census is to count every person just once in the right place.
Well, let's go over the basics once again.
Sure. The Constitution requires that every 10 years the government count, quote, the whole number of persons in each state, unquote. This is in Article 1 of the Constitution, which is the entire section dealing with Congress. And the main point of the census is to count everybody who is residing in the country for the purpose of allocating the 435 seats in Congress among the states. And the states get representatives depending on what proportion of the population lives in that state. Right now, for example, Michigan has 14 congressional representatives. This particular count is done every 10 years. The first one was in 1790, and they've been done every 10 years since then.
And in the past, there's been a long form and a short form. Is that the way it's going to work this time?
No, it's not going to work that way this time. After the 2010 census, the Census Bureau realized that they could get a better count if they used a short form. That is, more people were likely to answer, and they were more likely to answer all the questions. That was the first reason for using just a short form in 2020. The second reason is that statistical methods of sampling and applying techniques that I can't really describe because I'm not a statistician enable the Census Bureau to count a relatively small number of people, and then based on what they learn in the large census, the full census, they are able to extrapolate numbers for the whole population from a small survey. So the reason there's a short survey is to get a higher response rate and to get a fuller response.
Will we receive this survey in the mail, or how will they communicate with us?
They will initially communicate by mail. They will send information about the census and a paper form, and then you will be able to respond either by using the paper form, which the Census Bureau thinks about 30% of the people will do, or you can use your smartphone or a regular phone, or you can use the internet. And those two other methods are new this time.
Right. What if you don't have the internet?
Well, the Census Bureau knows roughly where the populations are that don't have broadband. For example, in southeast Michigan, about 14% of households don't have broadband access. So if you don't have the internet, you can use the paper form, or you could use your phone, or you could go to a place that you trust, like a public library or your church, and use the internet there.
It seems like an enormous undertaking. How do you describe the essential steps?
Well, it is an enormous undertaking. And I can tell you the four steps in a simplified manner, and then maybe if you want, you can ask more. The first step is to establish where to count. That is, where are all these people? And that means getting a 100% review of buildings where people are living. Secondly, you need to motivate everyone to respond. You need to help people understand why the census is important. And it goes beyond the apportionment of congressional members, by the way. The third step, then, is to count the population and collect data from all households, and also to count people who live outside of a household, meaning unique living arrangements or homeless people. And finally, to gather all that information together and then release the results.
How does the Census Bureau even know where everyone is to begin with?
Well, that's a multi-step process, too. They start with local governmental agencies, primarily the planning and development units in each governmental entity at the city or county level or even the township level. And they ask them, what buildings exist in your community now? that were there in 2010 and what ones are new. That's the first step. And, of course, they have those departments have information about new subdivisions, new construction, and so on. The second step is that the census staff can use aerial images of everywhere in the country to make sure that they've got complete information. And finally, they consult local social service groups to find out where the homeless are, because they should be counted too. And so they literally find what bridge people might be staying under or where there's an informal tent city.
So as we have this conversation and discuss the intricacies of the upcoming 2020 census, I'm hearing and feeling a lot of people going, I'm not telling the government anything. I think trust is becoming such an issue. Do you think that might be a problem this time around?
Yes, I do. And there is a general growing distrust of the federal government, but there is also additional distrust from particular groups because of the Trump administration's desire to add a question, are you a citizen or not, to the census. And the mere discussion of that, I am afraid, will drive people away whether or not the question makes it onto the actual census form. The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments April 23rd in a lawsuit about the citizenship question, and they should issue an opinion certainly by the end of June.
So that issue is not yet resolved.
It's not yet resolved.
And what kind of questions will be on the form?
The questions on the form will be pretty simple. There are seven. The name, age, sex, Hispanic origin, race, and relationship of the person to the head of the household. And then the final one will be whether the home is rented or owned. And the question will have to be answered for each person living in each household.
Why is it important where a person is counted to the census data?
Well, it's very important because, as I said, the census data is used to construct congressional districts and to allocate members of Congress. If a certain group is underrepresented because they refuse to answer, then that particular jurisdiction may not get as many congressional representatives as it would have. A second consequence of not having everyone counted is that federal money and billions of dollars in federal money are distributed based on the census count. For example, in Michigan in fiscal year 16, $29 billion of federal money were distributed to Michigan. Just to skip to an example of the impact on congressional representation, the prediction is that Michigan will probably lose one congressional representative and go from having 14 to having just 13.
I was going to ask you, has there been any calculations or predictions on what will happen after this is over? So that's one thing happening. Lots happening, actually. Margaret Leary, you're going to have to come back, and we're going to have to talk about this some more next time because we are out of time right now, and we always appreciate your information and knowledge you bring to this edition of In the Public Interest. That's Margaret Leary. I'm Lisa Berry, and thank you so much for listening to In the Public Interest here on 89.1 WEMU-FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.